For the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about a series called Devoted. Come on, can you say that word with me? Devoted. Devoted. We don't use this word much anymore. It seems like it's kind of out of fashion, but for somebody to be devoted to things, and yet we see it in society all the time. We see families that are totally 100% devoted to their kids. They take them to every sporting event. They buy in the latest, greatest. They leave things. They go on trips. They take them on, you know, all the sporting things for travel ball and all kinds of stuff. You call them devoted. We call the crazed football fans at this time of the year that paint their faces and stand out in 0 degree weather and take their shirts off and come on, they're devoted. They're crazy, but they're devoted. We see Pastor Kimberly. She's devoted to Amazon and shoe shopping. Believe me, devoted. Devoted. And you heard the joke that the Amazon driver came to the door. This happened to me. The Amazon driver came to the door one day and just knocked on the door. He didn't have a package, but he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "What do you mean, am I okay?" And he said, "I don't have any packages for you today." Devoted. Devoted. She's fasting shoes. That's what she's doing. That's on her list. Food and shoes. The early church was booming in attendance and needs in the book of Acts after Jesus was raised from the dead. Life was busy. It was something that they hadn't experienced before. They didn't know what the church was going to be about. Jesus didn't lay it all out. He just said, "I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it." The church leaders began searching out, or they selected out leaders that could then handle things with any problems and situations that came up. And they selected these men to alleviate the day-to-day needs of what was happening in the church. There had to be food distribution. There was no social services or welfare system. The church handled all that, helping the widows, helping the orphans, and taking care of the people. But the apostles, the disciples, those, you know, we're talking about Peter and John, and we're talking about, you know, the other, well, at that time, they chose one more, so the other 10, they said, we've got to do something different, and I want you to be included in this. This isn't just about me as a pastor, but this is about all of us together. They said, we've got to be doing something different than just using all of our time, all of our ability, all of our strength to be feeding people. There's nothing wrong with feeding people and clothing people. Nothing wrong with clothing people. But for the next 10 days, I want this verse, as we start this series, to be just imprinted in your heart and imprinted in your mind. It's Acts chapter 6, verse 4 from the Amplified. He says, "But we will continue to devote ourselves," there's the word, "we will continue to devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer and the ministry of the word." So for the next 10 days, here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. Again, I'm asking you to shut off the TV a little bit, shut off the computer, shut off YouTube a little bit. Don't binge scroll. I'm asking you that you would use the time that you normally would for other things to dedicate yourself and devote yourself to prayer and the word of God. He said steadfastly to prayer and the word of God. This is what God's asking us to do for the next 10 days, because I believe the next 10 days can set the agenda for what happens for the next 12 months. That we can devote ourselves more to what God's doing, what God said he wants to do. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to see some things happen this year that should not have happened in your life happened, and some things maybe that the enemy had planned for your life that don't happen. You're going to be able to watch that and see that. Now, when you think about devotion, again, what comes to your mind? Is it that parent that takes their kid to every single, you know, travel ball, and they leave their maybe other relationships, and this is what they're doing, and devoted to the business guy, and he's given 70 hours a week to the business or business lady, just devoted the person that's involved, the family that's involved with education, and so they've got their kids in every math thing or every special thing that's going to get them to be the engineer or have the next operating system or app that's going to be, you know, a $1 billion enterprise, or maybe it's the person that, you know, God bless you, that you're in a weight loss thing, and they're devoted, man. They're just devoted. They're at the gym every day. They're exercising every day. Come on, they're watching their diet every single day, which is cool. Devoted. Well, what if we do that spiritually for the next 10 days and set us up for a program of repetition for the next, you know, 51 weeks after that? What I want you to do, and I want to hopefully that this isn't going to be a diet, meaning a quick fix. Even some of us might say, I'll give you 10 days, but then I'm going to take back the next, you know, 50 weeks of the year and go back to being the way I was. I'm going to ask you, and I'm asking myself, to devote yourself a little more fully and see who you become in the process in the next 10 days. We think of devotion. What do you think of? What do you think of? The word devoted actually means this. Look on the screen. It means loyalty. It means that you're dedicated to something or someone. And it means that this thing that you're dedicated to or you're devoted to has priority over everything else. In other words, this isn't something casual. No one is ever devoted and you say their devotion's casual. If you're devoted, you're all in this thing and people can see it. I'm asking you, I'm asking me this year, not for showiness, but for apparentness, that the world would see us differently because of our devotion to Jesus Christ. It shows up in our what we do, what we don't do. It shows up in our vocabulary. It shows up in our love and our attention and our patience and our long-suffering and our giving and our forgiving. It shows up in our no more gossiping. It shows up in our no more finger pointing and talking about people. And it's working out what God has worked in. Being devoted will show up in your life. It'll show up in your life. And being devoted just doesn't involve what we said, being devoted from Acts 6:4, steadfastly devoted in the word and prayer. Not just in word and prayer, but we're asking scripturally, we're asking that we would be devoted for the next 10 days with fasting, seeking God with fast, denying food. And again, this is a real interesting generation. So forgive me, young people. Let me mess with you a little bit. Even when we talk about fasting, and you'll see all over social media, and you know, all over TikTok, well, fasting means just, you know, you're fasting in the TV series. And that's kind of cool. And you're fasting, you know, you're not going to go to the mall for 10 days. And that's pretty kind of cool. But fasting biblically always involves food. It involves food because food keeps you alive. And for the next 10 days, God's asking you and he's asking me, set aside certain things that you deem necessary, that are necessary for your earthly body. Set aside longings and desires, sugar, sweet, whatever, you figure it out. You got to ask God. We don't tell anybody what to do. And say, I'm going to set that aside because the thing that I need more than anything isn't in and out. The thing I need more than anything is your presence in my life. Can I get an amen? Is a word in season. Come on, everybody. Is to hear God and to see God and to know you more. So I'm willing to lay that aside so I can draw near to you. I believe with all my heart, when the early church was talking about prayer, that included in prayer what they were talking about was fasting. It was the lifestyle of Jesus. Jesus was a person who devoted himself to prayer. Early in the morning, he would climb mountains in prayer. They knew about this. In fact, the only thing the disciples asked him, they didn't say, teach us how to preach like you. Teach us to cast out devils like you. They said, teach us how we can pray. Nobody prayed like you. We've never heard it from the authorities. We never heard it from the religious leaders. There was something about the prayer life of Jesus that opened the hearts of the disciples that they never heard anything like this before. Could your prayer life be changed this year? I'm telling you, it can, as you seek God with your heart and you devote yourself to prayer. Psalms 84, verse 11. Look what it says. Just again, some foundations as we talk about being devoted this year. Teach me your way, O Lord. One translation just says and breaks it out. I want to know more about you. I want to know how you work. I want to know how you move. Teach me your way, O Lord, how you work, how you move, that I can walk and live in your truth and direct and unite my heart. That's the phrase. Direct and unite my heart to solely, reverently fear and honor your name. During this fast, during this time that we're separating ourselves, again, from normal things, from okay things. Listen, I'm just encouraging you, let the grass be long. Come on. Don't do all the extra things that even need to be done. Just have a team meeting at the house and say, we're just not going to do some of that right now. The carpet might be a little extra moldy right now. Can I get an amen? We're not going to devote all of that. Come on, that'll happen in the middle of the month. We'll be able to take care of some of this stuff. Now I'm not talking about living nasty. Come on, everybody. But some things that don't need to be done, we're going to let aside. And Lord God, I'm asking you that you would direct and unite my heart to fear and honor your name. My heart. Give me a purity of heart, one translation says, that everything within me would honor your name. Give me a purity of heart. This is what's going to happen to a person that's devoted to him. You know, in the early church, there were those that would call the Christ followers zealots. Zealots, full of zeal, full of passion. This is a person that's living different, praying different, believing different. Could it be so in your and my life that we could have further zealousness for God and the things of God? I believe so. I believe it's the plan of God. I believe it's the will of God, that God wants us to grow in our hunger. And it happens by hungering for him and not hungering for just earthly things. The very first question that came to Jesus about fasting is found in Matthew 9. Look it on the screen or mark it in your Bible, or if you're taking some notes. Matthew 9, 14. Look what it says. Then the disciples of John, this is the disciples of John the Baptist, came to Jesus, and they said this. They recognized something. Notice what they recognized. Why do the Pharisees fast offering, but your disciples do not fast? We've noticed something, Jesus, that you guys aren't fasting like the religious people are doing, the Pharisees are doing. There's something totally different about you and your gang. And Jesus said to him, verse 15, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. The bridegroom is Christ. The bridegroom is Jesus. He's talking to third person. When the bridegroom is taken away from them, look at this, and then they will fast. They'll fast in that day when Jesus is saying, is taken away. No one, verse 16, puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and a tear is made worse. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into wineskins and both are preserved. Jesus breaks down and goes way beyond the question. What they asked is, how come they fast and you don't fast? But he tells us some things that are apparent that we need to understand about fasting and what happens during this season as we set aside the time to seek God in a special way. Mark it down. Look on the screen. Prayer and fasting aren't about you. It's about who. It's about who you are being with. So Jesus says the relationship I'm talking about is between the bridegroom, me, and he says, my friends. Interesting. Jesus calls the disciples, Jesus calls us into a relationship with him based on friendship. You are a friend of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ. He looks to us, and he longs to be with us as a espoused husband is going to marry his espoused wife, his fiance, and the relationship building up until the culmination of the marriage. And we are coming into a time, the scripture says, when this is all done and we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come on, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we have the opportunity to partake and enjoy fellowship and communion with the bridegroom while we're here on the earth. Fasting draws us nearer to the bridegroom, makes us more aware of his presence in our life. If you are lacking presence, if you are lacking the voice of God, if you're hearing the voice of the accuser constantly in your ears, what you need to do regularly, not just for 10 days, but is set aside times to fasting and prayer if you're not hearing the voice of the Lord loudly in your heart and in your ears. All through Scripture, it talks about this. The fast isn't about you. It's about who I am being with. Keep your focus off yourself. Keep your focus on him. Have you ever been in a relationship or ever been with a friend, and when you got together with them, you had something on your heart and you talked to them about it before, and then when you got together, all that person did was talk about themselves? Pretty frustrating. Pretty frustrating. Jesus wants to enter into a relationship with you where you learn and you listen from him. Doesn't mean you don't have needs. Doesn't mean you're not asking, petitioning, desiring, or seeking. But it's about just being with him. Again, if I haven't said it already, I'll say it one more time. Don't make it be what you're doing. Make it be who you're becoming. I know that's not good English, but you get it. Don't make it be what you're doing. I'm giving up food and I'm hungry. And every time I got a hunger pain, or every time I'm thinking about it. Listen, what we need to do is we direct that focus back to God. And Lord God, I'm doing this to you. And I'm becoming more like you. And I'm desiring you. I'm beholding you. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we become what we behold. We become what we behold. Whatever you're longing for, whatever you're desiring, you wind up becoming that, good, bad, or ugly. Our flesh wants to become and just constantly desire things for ourselves and what our eyes see. And again, the thing here is I'm not eating or I'm only eating certain things. And again, we want to use that and redirect that is absolutely true, but I'm drawing near to God. My focus is on drawing near to God. If I draw near to him, James says, he will draw near to me. I'm going to use my hunger. I'm going to use my prayer. I'm going to use my fasting. I'm going to use my word time. I'm going to use my leave off the social media, leave off some other pleasurable things, and I'm going to draw near to him because I desperately need to spend time and hear the word of the bridegroom this year. I believe this. Again, remember what he said about at the end of this portion of scripture, when the disciples say, you know, why do you fast and they don't fast, and why do they fast and you don't fast, and Jesus talked about the bridegroom and the friend, but then he says something kind of crazy. He says no one takes a piece of unshrunk cloth and puts it on another cloth or else it'll tear. And you don't put new wine into old wineskins or else come in their animal skins, and the buoyancy of the new wine starts bubbling and it'll tear the old wineskin. And so he says you got to put new wine in a new wineskin. What's Jesus saying? Listen, what Jesus is saying is that through fasting and through prayer and through seeking him, you actually become a new kind of person. I know you're a new person in Christ Jesus. I know spiritually you are, but experientially are you? Are you a new kind of person? You got more love in you than you did last year? You got more patience this year? Got more hope? Got more faith? Got more peace? Got more kindness? Got more faithfulness? I know experientially you and I are, or spiritually I should say, but experientially in the day to day, am I becoming new wine? Prayer and fasting has the ability to stir things up and to let me see who I really am so I can become all God wants me to be. And I don't know about you, but I want to be changed this year. I want to grow in my faith this year. I want to grow in my love this year. Come on, come on. Am I talking to the right room? I don't want to be casual. I want to be devoted. Come on, say it with me. I want to be devoted. Want to be devoted. Want to be devoted. Want to be more loyal. Want to be more loyal. Want to be more dedicated. Want you to have more priority in my life. Jesus was the bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the old wine to the new wine, from the Old Testament law to the New Testament grace. So we're not trying to work for God's favor. We already got God's favor, but we're trying to work it out of our life to a lost and dying world. What Jesus is saying is, listen, to what we know from what he's saying, we can pick it up. Look on the screen. Jesus wasn't after fixing things. He was after replacing things. That old way, listen to me, some of us have got some old ways. Every so often on my Apple phone, if you guys got an Android, God bless you. We'll pray for you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. messing with you. we get this thing every now and again. It says software update, right? Come on, they got a new operating system, got something new going on, got a new update, and you download it. Because they found a glitch or they found something going on that needs to be replaced or can be enhanced. Listen to me. God wants your operating system continually changed from glory to glory. Continually grow. And I'm stretching the wording, if you will, from the scriptures. Again, I know you're complete in Christ. I know he's the head of all rule, power, and authority. But do you know that? Do I know that? Am I walking in that? Prayer and fasting is going to stir that up, that I'll believe it and I'll begin walking it out in every area of my life. I'll bring the application of it when I've got a crazy business deal I'm dealing with. I'll bring the application of it when my kid comes home drunk one night. I'll bring the application of it when Pastor Kimberly, I see more Amazon shoes at the door. I'll be more loving. What would your life look like this year if things were completely replaced? Your anger was gone. Your joy was restored. You had peace this year, and your anxiety was diminishing in your worry. You weren't so tight-fisted. You were more open-fisted and open-handed to give what you have. You didn't keep things, every spiritual goodness that you have and the grace for your life wasn't just for you, but it was given to a lost and dying world, the people around you. What would it look like this year if you were just more devoted to the Lord? Fasting has a way to stir that up, the things of God in your life. Again, don't look at what you're losing. Look at what you're gaining. Look at what you're becoming. I'm going to be more aware of your presence. Listen to me. I can't stress this enough. I've been doing this for decades now. And what's going to happen is you're going to become very much aware of your need for food. So one of the greatest things you can do is shut off social media and TV, because listen to me, what's going to happen is you are going to see ads of pizza and hamburgers and tacos and it's crazy. And it's like, I need it. I want it. I got to have it. So one of the greatest abilities is shut all that stuff off. It's going to help you. But you're going to see and sense an awareness of God. There's going to be things going on in your spirit, man, the real you on the inside of you, that just get stirred up during a fast. And listen to me. Also, on the other side of the coin, there's going to be demonic attack come against you. Come to your mind. I had an awful dream, an image come to my mind. Two nights ago. Awful. Listen to me. Sexual perverted. Never thought about it before. Never seen it before. Attack of the enemy. Listen to me. Try to divert you. Try to hinder you. Listen to me. That's why we press in with fasting and prayer. We press beyond that because the devil hates it when you draw close to him. Listen to me, hates it. Fasting and prayer is just going to declutter things from your soul. We don't leave the ancient path from the Old Testament. We don't leave what the ancients did and say, well, I'm a new person in Christ, so what they did and how they had to fast, I don't have to do that now. No, we don't leave that. We walk that ancient road of holiness and purity and consecration and sanctification and loving Jesus and loving the world. But we do it with a New Testament grace mindset. So I was telling my 9-year-old granddaughter a couple of days ago when she was at the house about fasting and prayer. And I said, one of the things, baby Taylor, listen, if you mess up, what you do is you just ask God to forgive you and you just get right back on the horse. If you all of a sudden go, you know, I'm fasting and praying, and that next thing you find yourself binging ice cream, well, come on, everybody. That's not healthy. But if you, come on, God will forgive you. Come on. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen, everybody. So have you, come on, some of you older folks that have been doing this, have you ever been in the kitchen going, I'm not going to eat a certain thing, and you walk by and there it was in your mouth, before you knew it was in your mouth. Come on, that's happened to me. Can I get anybody, can I get any truthful believers in the room? And then you're kind of going, what did I do? I've done that a couple times, but more than not, I've chewed it and said, Jesus will forgive me. Come on, everybody. I don't like that, but that's the truth. Man. What we want to do is we want to ask God to do something new in our generation. Come on, everybody. New in our generation, new with our kids, new in this time. And again, I know that God made us new wineskins in the new birth. We're new wine to receive. We're born again. We house the Holy Spirit in us. And so we're not asking for a new Holy Spirit. We're just asking for a freshness. We're asking God, you pour your Spirit out on all flesh. Lord God, fill me and fill me again with the Spirit of God. Come on, my spirit doesn't need to be recreated, but Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, renew a right soul within me. I got some contaminations going on in the world. I got some, you know, I was watching a thing on YouTube the other day, and it was about engines and Toyota and the engines that they've got and trouble that they come out with a new truck and their new Land Cruiser and all kind of stuff. And they're talking about engines being returned and have to do 110,000 engines, and they never had this problem before. And they talked about the quality control's gone down. And in the engines, there's shavings of the metal that have come and ruined the engines. And so all these engines have to be recalled. And I don't want to have to be recalled. I want my life to be an example. I want my prayer to be an example. I want my love and my marriage and my kids, my family, how I raise them to be an example, how I pastor to be an example. Not perfect, but moving forward and be more holy, more honorable to God, so he can use me more. I could be a vessel of honor, fit, ready for the master's use. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, there's only two choices. You can be an everyday earthenware kind of dish, or you can choose to be the kind of dish that is brought out for special occasions. You choose. You choose what you're going to be this year. Fasting and prayer has got a way of cleansing and redirecting so we could be vessels of honor, ready for God. Where it's not people having to look through all the outer flesh to try to get to like this hidden small little God thing. I want the God thing to be increased so much in my and your life that people see the very love of God, the life of God, the power of God working in us. Can I get an amen for everybody in the room? Yeah. So we're going to stir up the new wine by prayer and by fasting. We're not going to go back to an old way of living and expecting and believing. And this is the challenge. Listen to me. I've been doing this for a minute. So this is the challenge from what I've seen in the people of God. The people of God, the believers that are continually torn between going for God and the old lifestyle that's satisfying them. Being kind of devoted to God, but then being more devoted to an old way of life. And listen to me, this is exactly what Jesus said. The old garment with a new garment, and it's torn. And there's a tearing inside some folks continually because you know you're not doing what you're supposed to do, but you still do it anyway. And if that's you, listen to me. There's grace, there's mercy, there's forgiveness, there's deliverance for you. But how long, as the Old Testament says, will you halt between two opinions? We need to serve God. We need to love God. We need to draw near to God. And we need to say, I'm going to devote myself to you. Fasting is going to help me choose wisely. It's going to discipline my body so that I can work out what he's worked in. I believe this with all my heart, that fasting is and has the ability, adding fasting to your prayer, has the ability to be an accelerator in spiritual things. If you feel you've been lagging, if you feel that there's just been a slow, muddy, mucky, you're in the clay and you can't move forward in the journey that God's got for you, fasting is going to be an accelerator in the things of God. Seek God this time for a fast that will be pleasing to him. You ask him what it looks like for you. As Kimberly said earlier, it'll look different from all of us. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says three things, and he says the same thing each three times, that when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. I want to highlight just the praying and the fasting part here in Matthew 6, verse 17, because he says the same thing about fasting he does in prayer. Look on the screen. When you fast, notice when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. So Jesus evidently expects you and I to fast. Old Testament, they had certain days, certain times, certain seasons that they fasted. We know, and we'll talk about it in the weeks ahead, certain fasts that we see in the Old Testament that brought supernatural breakthroughs that are still powerful for us today. But Jesus says, when you fast, what are you supposed to do? Anoint your head, wash your face, take a shower. So you don't appear to men to be fasting. We don't want to walk around and somebody says, how come you're all mopey? I'm fasting. No, no, no. Get a smile on your face. This is a happy time. You're drawing near to the bridegroom. So that you don't appear, verse 18, to be fasting, but you're fasting to your Father. Check it out. Who is in the secret place? Will you say that with me? Who is in the secret place? We're fasting to who? We're fasting to the Father. Come on, we're fasting who? To the Father. Come on, help me out, church. To the what? The Father. Who is in the secret place? And the Father, your Father, who sees the secret, what's he going to do? Come on, say it with me. Come on, gonna reward you. There's a reward at the end of a fast. It's openly. You're gonna be changed. People will see it. Come on, people will see it. You'll know it. It'll be a reward openly. You'll see answers. It might not happen immediately, but you will see answers in the days to come. It'll be rewarded by what you do during this time. Listen to me. So what do? Look on the screen. You start fasting with denying yourself. You deny yourself certain things that you want. If you're a vegetarian, eating fruits, vegetables, and nuts is not a fast. That's how you live. That's how you eat. You got to figure something out. If you're a meat eater, you can lay off some meat. Put it down. Lay off sweets. Lay off processed foods. Lay off stuff. It starts with denying yourself. I'm going to deny myself what I really want. I'm going to deny myself. Secondly, it moves towards disciplining yourself. You discipline yourself in spiritual things. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get some godly books. I'm going to spend this time doing this. I'm going to discipline myself. Nothing will happen in your life without godly discipline. You make yourself do it. There's a guy in the room today that I follow online. He's one of our guys here in the church. And I saw this morning at like 5:00, he was at the gym. I'm going, dear God, that's discipline. That's discipline. Discipline, physically. Well, if we can do things like that, and this brother can, do things like that physically, we can do things exactly like that spiritually. It's just a mindset. It's a discipline. I won't watch that. I'm going to do this. Discipline. I'm not going to drink that. I'm alcohol free for the next 10 days. That's a word for somebody. I'm not smoking dope for the next. I'm not doing. I know I got need. Kind of got to get myself. I know it's a dispensary, and I got the doctor's order. Okay, cool. Why don't you stop it for the next 10 days and let's see what God does. Now, if you're taking pills from the doctor and all, keep doing that. Don't deny that, please. But let's ask God that whatever's keeping you on those pills gets diminished. And health and healing spring forth speedily in your body, like Isaiah 58 says. Let's believe God that this fast is going to be an accelerator of spiritual things. So as fast starts with denying myself, then disciplining myself, and you're going to grow this week, you're going to grow next week spiritually by delighting in him. So it's just not about denial. It's not just about delight. It's about I get to delight spending time with the groom. Look on the screen. Fasting isn't to impress people, yourself, or God. Listen to me. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. Nobody cares. They're fighting the food urge themselves. So you saying what you're doing isn't going to help them. So just stop it. It's not done to impress God, not done to impress. Jesus doesn't care what you're doing. He's not impressed. Well, you know, I'm fasting just like Moses. He could care less. Let the fasting be done between you and yourself. Don't appear to men to be fasting, the scripture tells us. So listen, it's not done to impress people. And here's what I've seen. The more you talk about it, the less reward there is. So quit talking about it. We don't care. I don't care. I'm not telling you what I'm doing. Don't tell me what you're doing. Matthew 4, verse 1. Crazy scripture. How we doing? We doing all right this morning? Amen. Huh? Come on, we doing okay? Amen. We got three okays, we got three amens, we got a nod, and we got some people uncertain. That's all right. That sounds like church. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led. Come on, read it out loud with me. Come on, let's move your mouth. 1, 2, 3, read. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's a crazy scripture. Because I think we think that Jesus was, or God will only lead you into an easy place. He led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So Jesus could ward off and could defeat the devil for how this whole thing and sin came in the human race. This was the beginning of the end of the devil. Come on, everybody. Come on, Jesus came to the earth. We know that was the beginning. We celebrated Christmas, but him coming out, him fulfilling his kingly role as King and Lord and Christ and the Anointed One, this is the beginning right here. And God says, we're going to have to lead you into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now listen, God's not going to lead you, come on, down to the bar to see if you can pass the alcohol test. He's not going to lead you down to the hoochie joint so to pass the skirt test. Whatever the hoochie joint is. I don't know what that is. But he's not going to do that. Or he's not going to get on your computer and type in OnlyFans to see if you'll resist the sexual temptation test. He won't do that. But he leads Jesus by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Listen to me. We can read what happened. And what happened, we know, is this. God led Jesus towards victory, not defeat. So you're fast. What's going to happen? Listen to me. It'll happen any fast of this length, and a week, and 10 days and longer. Your fast sometimes will be like a roller coaster. You have a spiritual high. Woo! And all of a sudden, your body will start lying to you. You have a crash. And then you're going to have spiritual high. Listen to me. Don't listen to your body. Listen to your spirit. God led Jesus towards victory, not towards defeat. What was the plan of victory? What was the plan of victory? Prayer and fasting. Here for 40 days. Prayer and fasting. What was the result while Jesus was doing this 40 days and 40 nights? What was the result? Jesus comes face to face with the devil, who, by the way, he created as Lucifer. And yet Jesus is in a human body, subject and tempted, just like you and me. 100% man, 100% God, but standing on the earth, combating a spirit who he made. How does he win this battle? How does he win? He's been praying and he's been fasting and he wins with "It is written." Come on, would you say those words with me? It is written. "It is written" is going to come alive in your spirit more and more in the next 10 days. The things God said, the things he's been saying to you, is going to come alive. It's going to be like new wine. You need to listen to it, lean into it, write it down, journal, write some notes, put some things in your phone so you don't forget. A dad brought to Jesus an epileptic son. He actually brought to the disciples first to cast out and to help him deliver this boy, and the disciples couldn't do it, the scripture says in Matthew 17. They brought him to Jesus, and here's what it says in Matthew 17, 18. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, not all oppression, not all sickness is caused by a devil at all. We know the devil's behind it all, but I mean, like this dude, Jesus cast the devil out of him. He rebuked the demon. So this specific sickness of epilepsy that caused this young boy to cast himself in the water to try to drown himself, the scripture says, or cast himself into the fire to commit suicide, was caused by a demon spirit. Jesus knew what the problem was. He cast the spirit out. The boy was instantly delivered. Remember the story? Matthew 17, 19. The disciples then came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out? Why couldn't we do this? How come we couldn't do this?" Look at the answer. Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." Number one, because of your unbelief. "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, 'Move,' and it from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Jesus answers the question with number one, it's your unbelief. It's your unbelief. It's your unbelief. Jesus is saying, "I cast out this devil, number one, because I'm operating in faith. I'm not going to be moved by my emotions. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. I'm going to be moved by, I know who I am and I know what this is." One more time. Fasting and prayer is going to show you what's really going on. I'm going to pull back the curtain. Fasting and prayer gives spiritual clarity. Gives spiritual clarity. It's like the curtain gets pulled back. I can see what's going on. I can see what's happening in my own life. I can see where I keep getting tripped up. I can see what's going on in my marriage. I can see that situation with my child, so I can pray more effectively. It's going to give spiritual clarity. And prayer and fasting, what we see from Jesus, it stirs up boldness and it stirs up authority. You're going to find yourself in the next 10 days, and God willing, I trust it for you, I pray for you, the rest of the year, there's going to be a boldness and an authority that comes in your life to say, "No more in this house, devil." Come on, everybody. I'm not going to let you run over my mind, my will, my emotions, my kids. I'm going to take my place and my authority in Christ. Jesus operated in faith, and this faith has been given to you and me in seed form, and he's asking us to stir up faith, to stir up faith, that we can overcome every temptation, every challenge that comes to us that's demonically opposing your progress or demonically coming against those whom you love, to stand and to declare what God's saying over your life and your family, your health, your well-being, whatever it is. They said, how come we couldn't cast this out? How come we couldn't cast this out? And Jesus says in chapter 17, verse 21, this kind doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. This kind. Now, what's interesting, we don't see anywhere previously, we don't know how long, you know, the time that, you know, Matthew's writing this, and it's not like he's journaling something every day. We got 28 chapters. It's 3.5 years that Jesus is on the earth. We don't know how long everything's happening in between, but we don't have anywhere from this event that this kind doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting. We don't have that phrase, what Jesus said, attached to seeing him praying with fasting. It wasn't like he did it the day before. He did it that morning, or he did it the week before. We don't have anything that says that. But what can we assume that Jesus is doing? Or what can we assume that Jesus meant? Listen to me. He was always praying and he was always fasting. It was just a part of his lifestyle. So I submit to you, the last thing I'll tell you today is this on the screen. Your prayers and fastings of today are setting up your breakthroughs of tomorrow. Jesus does not know in his earthly body that tomorrow there's going to be a situation with a dad and a son, and the son's got a demon in him that's messing with him and bringing epileptic seizures in his life. But because Jesus in the days gone by has always spent time with the Father and has always given himself to extended periods of fasting and seeking God, when he comes to this event, this is going out because I have been praying and I have been fasting. And I know who God is, and I'm stirred up faith in my life, and I know I have boldness, and I know I have authority, and I know who I am, and I know who the devil is, and he's a defeated foe. And I know that I'm right with the Father. I know the Father always hears me. I know I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. I know his love I can't ever be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I know who I am, I know whose I am, and this enemy coming against this boy cannot stand. Prayer and fasting stirs up the things of God. Can you say amen? Stand with me, everybody. Would you do it? What could your life look like? Come on, bow your head, close your eyes. Would you do it right there? What could your life look like in 2025 if you pray with fasting as you begin the year? You're never gonna know until you do it. What's your fast look like? Have you made up your mind? Right there where your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Have you set your agenda? Have you removed things from your life? Have you already thought? Talk to your family. Talk to your loved ones, couples, kids. This is what we're doing. This is what we're not doing. Our heart, you make up your mind. I'm going to devote myself. I'm going to be more loyal, dedicated. I'm going to prioritize this time over every other time. I'm going to get alone with God. I'm going to draw near to the bridegroom. I'm going to declutter things from my life because I need you in my life in a greater, greater measure. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I can walk and live in your truth. Unite my heart to reverently fear and honor your name. Father, I pray for our entire church as we begin tomorrow praying and fasting. I pray, Lord God, that we would be new wine and new wineskins. I pray, Lord God, that the old thing that we've been engaged with and has drawn near to us and is troubling us, Father God, that thing would be broken in our life, that we would see you and welcome you and hear you in a new way, Lord God. Teach us to fear your name, O God. Teach us to delight in the Lord, in you, Lord, more than delighting in natural things, even necessary things like food. Listen, while your head's bowed, come on, just one more thing. God told Adam and Eve, God told Adam, and Adam evidently told Eve, We can eat any fruit. We can have any tree in the garden. We just can't have that tree. And that thing, the devil tempted the woman and Adam then ate. That thing caused this thing. So what we're going to do for the next 10 days, come on, make it up your mind, make it up your heart. We're going to get rid of that thing, the longing for food, and we're going to draw near to the most important thing, the presence of God, the Word of God, prayer. We're going to steadfastly devote ourselves to prayer and the Word of God. So, Father, I pray as you have ministered to us this morning that we would receive, even during these next 10 days, a supernatural keeping, guarding, protecting. I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of us. I plead the blood of Jesus in our nighttime against wicked dreams and imaginations, oh God. I plead the blood of Jesus over our kids and our loved ones, Father. Protect them, deliver them against wicked things trying to come to distract us, oh God. Father, as we declutter things from our soul and our heart is being united to us, would you create in us again just a cleanliness, a cleanliness, a holiness, a purity in us, oh God, being vessels of honor, fit and ready for the Master's use. Father, we want to hear you. We want to hear you. We want to know you more. We pray it to be happen. The beginning of this year and culminating through victory all year long. In Jesus' name. Come on, all God's people said amen. Come on, can you clap your hands? Come on, hope that was all right. Come on, everybody. Amen. Come on, did you receive the word today? Did you do it? I believe you did. Hey, our prayer partners are going to be up here if we can pray for you about anything in your life, healing, marriages, things going on in your life, just as they always do. Allow us to do that.